Moving to the country, I'm gonna eat a lot of peaches. I'm moving to
Mike's
the country.
Mike's awful quick on those cue ups.
Eat me a lot
finding
of
topical rejoiners.
I'm moving to the
I'm not
country,
real big on fruits. A lot of peaches. I was so happy when that doctor told Jennifer he should not eat fruit. That's my doctor for life right
that's
there.
That's selective hearing is what that is.
That's exactly what that doctor said. But I tell you, peaches, God made peaches for homemade ice cream.
And pecans for pie.
Man. Oh, man.
Peach pie is pretty good, too, with homemade ice cream on top
peach
of
cobbler.
It.
Oh, you're
yeah,
talking.
Baby. You know, how many dozen eggs a day do you get from your chickens?
It's down a little bit with that extreme heat.
Well, sure.
We have 20 layers right now, and they'll so about 18 a day.
So at
a dozen and a half.
And at a lot of farmers markets, they sell eggs for about $5 a dozen.
Don't rat me out as a grower. Yeah. I don't want to be.
Two of the chicks are.
You know, you don't even need a dozen eggs a day to be a farmer.
If we
yes,
keep,
that's about the truth.
Well, you know, 200 dozen at $5 a dozen is $1,000. So
you're, and of note, a couple of those chicks are falling down on the job, so you need to. Get them cracking.
Get them.
Well, they're responsible for the kids' college. We've got to get them. There you go.
That's right.
We usually lose one or two. That you know, it breaks or it gets dropped or something like that nature. But yeah, if we can keep 20 layers day in and day out, that's about $2,200 a year in egg money that the girls will get.
So you're two farmers.
Yeah,
you are.
I'm a double grower, and that's just our eggs. We have.
Now, Julie, our guest from the Arizona Farm Bureau, if you qualify as a grower, can you petition the county to zone your property agriculture?
Golly gee whiz, you're asking a very smart question that I have no answer for.
Because I would enlarge my garden.
Yes, there you go. I think it'd be difficult in a housing development, obviously, but that's a good question. Okay. We'll pursue that one. I'll
just
ask.
Just curious.
I have asked around about that because I want to take an acre and a quarter that kind of goes up against a wash and it's underneath the floodplain, and I want to levy it off and make that an entire open pasture. Grazing. So I've kind of been thinking about it, but we've got so many priorities right now. That's about 89 or 100 right now.
We need Joe Sigg or Jim Klinker or one of our Farm Bureau leaders to call in and give us the lowdown on that one.
We'll follow up with them. Brian in Peoria is next online. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. I have a 7-year-old sisu tree that is big and beautiful, but it is a huge root problem. Mm-hmm. I've got roots growing under the fence into my neighbor's yard. It's all growing into my grass, sending up shoots everywhere. My neighbor tells me, hey, I don't want to lose the tree. Just pay for the fence when it falls down. And so my question is there anything that I can do to encourage the roots to grow deeper, or is it to the point where I just need to get rid of this tree?
Well, roots grow where the water is available, okay? So water deeper, longer, slower. You know, the problem when you have a lawn is you have a lot of shallow water because you're watering the lawn fairly shallowly. So the roots proliferate in that shallow zone, and they're shallow enough that then the shoots can come up and you get little tree shoots coming off the roots sometimes as well. So that's your best bet, is to try and in addition to the lawn watering, once every 2 or 3 weeks, once a month, is come up with a way to, whether it's just dragging a hose around and running it slowly for several hours in a few different places, to try and get some water down deep, 2 to 3 to 4 feet deep, so those roots will start proliferating and traveling more deeply than just spreading out.
John, it's too late for this tree because the roots are already on the surface. But it seems to me, just not being a farmer, not being a gardener, not being a landscaper, and have a fairly decent brown or black thumb, it would just seem to me the next couple trees I'm going to plant, I'm going to put some 6-inch diameter PVC 4 foot deep into the ground around the tree and fill it with large rocks.
Okay.
Wouldn't that do a world of good for carrying water deep into the ground?
Would make it easier to water deeply.
For all the clay that we have and everything?
You know, water will still, it's just methodology. Whether you do it that way or you put enough emitters and you keep adding and spreading out emitters. If you go to the Water Use It Wisely, the little landscape watering by the numbers book, and they show, I think, a schematic of a brand new tree with like two emitters, and then the tree's grown a couple years and there's three or four emitters, and then a mature tree where there's five, six, seven emitters, and they're not up, you know, they keep moving them out and around and adding so that the water can get to where it needs to get and you water deeply. And then they also have a chart, depending on the canopy of that tree, how many gallons of water that tree needs every time it's watered to get you about 3 foot of depth. So it would take the same amount of water, whether you had six or eight emitters or you had four of these or five of these drain systems, tubes, running in those tubes. Either way, the water will eventually go through the clay soil. It just takes longer and slower. So it's just however your method, taking a hose and running it slow and watching the wet spot. Look at the ground. It's dark if it's wet. It's light if it's dry. And see where that wet spot eventually travels. When it gets out to the edge of the canopy from one edge of the tree to the other, then that whole root system is probably wet 2 to 3 to 4 feet deep.
You'd started off the beginning of the broadcast talking about planting for, you know, a legacy plant for your dad. Rose wants to know where to find a rose bush for her dad.
Okay.
Rose, welcome to the program. She's
got
a
radio on.
Yeah, so I'll put you on the spot. Actually, I'm going to put Julie on the spot. Who's the big rose grower by Luke Air Force Base?
You put me on the spot.
There's several. Leighton Wolf is out there.
Mr. Francis.
Michael Francis is out there. The Conklins are out there. There's like four or five.
It's fun to drive by when they're in bloom because I don't know how they do it, but they've got their red roses in a perfect row that's about 30 feet wide and then blue and then pink and then white. It's like you're driving past somebody.
The reason for that is they're growing specific varieties of roses. And, you know, most of those roses leave the state of Arizona and go to, you know, they're growing for Jackson and Perkins and this rose, you know. So they get shipped and packaged and shipped out of the state of Arizona. And then some of them come back. It's kind of a funny deal. But so they're growing Mr. Lincoln's or another red, and it's probably one or two rows. And, you know, depending on the popular of the variety is how many of each color they're growing.
And they're kind of growing the stock for the nurseries, correct?
Right. These are rose bushes. These are not cut flower roses. Right.
And I'm sure she could find a rose at Harper's Nursery
Absolutely.
As well. Absolutely. Yeah. There you go, Rose. Appreciate the call. We're going to scoot up to Payson and welcome Marie into the conversation.
Good morning. Just had a question regarding back to peach trees. When is the best time to trim fruit trees in Arizona?
Okay, if we're talking about deciduous fruit trees like peaches, apricots, plums, then we prune those in the wintertime when they have lost their leaves. They're deciduous. They lose all their leaves. We prune them fairly heavily, depending on the shape and the size of the tree and what you want to achieve. After the fruit has been harvested, there's a technique called backyard orcharding where you can go in and pick your fruit, which is about now, and you can do a light pruning if you want to try and keep that tree a little bit smaller. But the pruning is done in the wintertime.
We appreciate the call. And Payson, they got a lot of varieties there with the chill hours. I think there probably isn't a variety of peach they couldn't find.
Well, other than the early varieties they wouldn't want. But yeah, the Payson's a pretty good elevation for growing peaches and apples and things like that.
We appreciate the call. We've been talking melons from the Arizona Farm Bureau. It's one of our main crops, but it's sweet corn. It is the season, and you can't talk sweet corn without talking Young's Farm, which is now the Mortimer Family Farm.
Yes, and their sweet corn's about ready too, but here in the Valley, it's already come off. In fact, our sweet corn season this year started a little bit early, which is kind of fun for you and me. They actually were selling sweet corn by the 19th of May, and we've launched a new sweet corn video just so you can learn a little bit more about how we grow it here in the valley. So you grow it in the valley. It moves up north. The season, because it's growing up north in south of Arizona, the season can actually last into September, which is pretty significant for sweet corn because it is a quick and short season summer crop. And then we always encourage people to go to Fill Your Plate because we've got sweet corn recipes on there. We've got melon recipes. One of my favorite sweet corn farmers, you can find him in Mesa. It's the Freeman Corn Patch right at Center Street, south of Brown. In fact, the specific address is, if you want to check it out, they're selling today is 945 North Center Street. And he's one of our Farm Bureau members, Mark Freeman. They've been growing sweet corn for years. And again, literally out there today, young kids are picking the sweet corn to make sure they get to the farmers markets this weekend and the coming weekends. The valley season will probably go through July 4th. And we mentioned the Russos earlier. They're growing on a larger scale. A lot of their sweet corn will be found in the grocery stores, not just the farmers markets. And they're even shipping some of their sweet corn out to California because they're growing such a significant amount. It's pretty neat. The Russos also, by the way, have a Russos farmers market somewhere in the East Valley. I want to say it's off of, is it Saravelle and Olive Streets in that corner section there or something, somewhere in the West Valley.
And there, where do they grow?
They grow, the Russos grow in Scottsdale, and they also have a Tolleson farm, but their farmer's market is somewhere in, I think you can go to their Facebook page or their website. They also have their own farmer's market.
And fillyourplate.org, I'm sure, would have a link for that.
Yes, we do have it. You are correct. Thank you there.
What else can I find there? Because that's a very powerful website. If you want to talk about local and knowing where your food comes from, that's a great resource.
Fill Your Plate is the place to go. It's three searchable databases, recipes. You can connect with your direct market farmers. We've got articles on fun food facts and things like that that we post three times a week. So it's a great and powerful, as you said, website.
Awesome.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you if you'd like to join the conversation. We have Doug and Scottsdale, Carol and Gilbert. But before we get to those, let me tell you about 8 Insect Control by Bonide. When you walk into a nursery or a garden center, there's a lot of different products because there's a lot of different uses for it. We talked about the Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew as an all-organic. Well, they've got another great product called 8 Insect Control. And what's unique about this one is you can use it indoors and outdoors. And it has labeled for over 100 different types of insects it's guaranteed to destroy. You can use it on your trees, shrubs, lawns, vegetable, fruits. It eliminates ticks, fleas, and even ants. Again, indoor and outdoor, available in all different types of application, whether it's a dust, your concentrates are ready to use, or the ready to spray with the built-in hose sprayer that is extremely convenient. You can find this product at bonide.com and at all the listings for Arizona, including Sundrea, which used to be Sheldon's in Tucson, Summer Winds in Phoenix, and AMP in Queen Creek.